Welcome, everybody. This is Roger Bauer, the Search Engine Ninja, and I'm joined today on the phone by Kevin Patrick. Kevin is one of the owners of A Child's Academy in Gainesville, Florida. And if you remember back, not too long ago, I talked with my partner and buddy, Wes Schaefer, about some of the stuff that he had done to help A Child's Academy. And I'm more or less talking with Kevin today to follow up on that recent conversation, more or less get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, about what Wes shared the other day, and get a perspective from a daycare preschool owner of how this system and how the change has impacted him, his life, his family, all of that. Kevin, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, pleasure to have you. So you recently had a spike in sales for your preschool, and I'd like to focus on that for our listeners today. As I mentioned, you recently hooked up with my buddy and partner, Wes. How did you find Wes, and what was the initial reason you hired him?
Okay, yeah. I've been an Infusion soft user since about the beginning of when they started. And so we've used it for various other businesses that we've been involved in. And then Barbara is my mother-in-law, who's owned this daycare for 16 years. We started doing some marketing for her. And I realized that one of the weaknesses that my wife and I have from a marketing perspective is that we try to make everything perfect before rolling it out. Mm-hmm. And so we miss out on a lot of business just in the fact that we delay trying to perfect something without just getting it out there and letting the real people who matter decide whether it's effective or not, which is our prospects.
Right.
And so we knew that we needed to outsource one of our weaknesses. Typically, one of the first actions we do is call Infusion because we know that they've got a lot of relationships with direct marketers, which direct marketing is kind of the principles that we subscribe to. And anyway, so one of the recommendations they had made was Wes. We interviewed several candidates and felt most comfortable with what Wes was going to do, and also felt most comfortable with some of the contacts that he had put us in touch with that he had done stuff for as far as the results that he was going to get, because we've actually been burned a couple times in the past by some marketing people saying they're going to do something but then don't follow through.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of finding the proof in the pudding that he did yield results, and not just results that nobody knew about but actual quantifiable results, made us go forward with Wes, and we've been pleased that we made that decision.
Well, that's a perfect segue into my next question. Is talk about the impact that Wes has had on your business and the initial time frame involved, because I know that Wes has talked about the kind of the 90-day period, but talk about that from, yes, the 90-day period, but also since then, because I know that it's extended beyond just 90 days.
Yeah. Well, we probably started helping Becky's mom market in this business in February. So we had 3 months of where we were collecting information about our competitors, really trying to get in and understand, you know, what our unique benefits were as a school compared to everybody else. And also just trying to get some baseline data to figure out where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara always operated from the standpoint of, you know, there's enough money that's coming in that's allowing her to live a comfortable life, but I don't know if she, you know, and that's probably true of a lot of entrepreneurs. They don't have the systems in place to properly manage the business. They more manage from a gut instinct as opposed to quantifiable data, which
right.
I always operate from that standpoint. So it kind of blew my mind every time I'd ask her questions about her business. But at the same time, she had made it successful, and she had done a lot of things and been successful over, you know, a period of 30 years. So at a certain point, you can't argue with it.
Right.
So Wes got involved about 90 days into that. I was basically able to hand him over a lot of information and data about what separated us from the rest of the pack. And we kind of laid out a plan as far as what we needed to do. And a lot of the things I liked about how we did this was we weren't going to put a lot of capital-intensive projects on the plate until we got returns on what we were doing from what I call capital light or free alternatives.
Right.
And so, you know, almost everybody else I approached wanted to completely revamp the website for, you know, thousands of dollars. And just a lot of it was just too capital intensive. And he laid out a plan and said, look, you know, there's going to be some capital that you lay out to pay me and to get the resources in place. But for the most part, it's not going to be as expensive as what you're currently paying for Yellow Page ads. And so we laid that out. And 90 days later, with some marketing tweaks and, more importantly, some sales tweaks, we got a really, really good return.
What kind of return, if you don't mind me asking?
Our ROR, our ROI,
mm-hmm.
Percentage-wise, it's, I don't know, it's, I'd have to say it's a couple thousand percent return. I mean, it's so far off the charts that I couldn't even comprehend in my head what it was.
Right. Yeah, because I know Wes had said that you'd sent him $4,500 and he returned $180,000. Over the first 90 days, and I know I've he sent me some emails since then saying that it's even above and beyond that because, you know, things get going.
Yeah, we've opened up more classrooms. I mean, I couldn't even – I know that we've probably gotten about $250,000 back from our $4,500 investment.
Wow, yeah.
And then that's not – that's bottom-line profit. That's not – you know, most people say $250,000 of revenue.
Right.
Which would generally mean about $50,000 of profit. I'm talking $250,000 of bottom line profit.
Right, because you already had the teachers in place, the classrooms, and all of that, and that's you weren't incurring more expenses for them, and I think that's the key takeaway. And when
Correct.
When he shared that story with me, I was like, wow, that's we need to talk that up. You know, that's a great case study. So that's
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, you mentioned Yellow Pages ads. What other advertising things were you guys doing, and that includes your mother-in-law before Wes got involved?
Basically, there's six Yellow Page ads, and that was, I think, the annual cost of those Yellow Page ads was around $28,000 to $30,000 a year, and none of it was tracked, and we've started tracking that since, and I'd say that it's generated maybe two leads for that cost.
Oh, my God.
Something that's just ridiculous. I think when she opened up the business 30 years ago, I think the Yellow Pages was the Internet.
Right.
You know, if you put your stuff in the Yellow Pages, you got business. Well, I can't remember the last time I went to the Yellow Pages to call somebody.
Right. I think
I know that it's ingrained in my brain from my parents that whenever we get the Yellow Pages, it still goes in the stupid drawer in the kitchen.
I'm the same way.
It doesn't come out until I see the one from next year and replace it.
Right.
I guess I keep it there just in case the power goes out or something, but I don't know. I think it's more, you know, a habitual habit that we just put it in that drawer.
Right. Well, I know that with Yellow Pages, for somebody like me that's a marketer, and that's where I go to look for prospects, because it's like, okay, people are spending, just like you mentioned, $28,000 to $30,000 a year, and you're not alone in that, because I've talked to real estate agents, and they've said the same thing, that they have these Yellow Pages ads, they spent an enormous amount of money on it, and they got one or two leads to show for it. So it's a great source of prospects for people like me, but it doesn't do a whole lot for the business owner that's looking to grow their sales.
Correct. And now they really are. They're starting to push, as part of our contract, a significant amount of Internet stuff.
Right.
But, you know, after working with Wes, the stuff they're pushing for $450 a month, we went in and could have done for free.
Right.
I mean, they're stuffing superpages.com and all these local sites. Well, you know, the big push in Internet marketing right now, at least from the search engines, is, you know, having a local-focused search approach. And so, you know, it's not like the Yellow Pages is going to get in there and optimize my page so that I can get the maximum amount of opt-ins. They're just not doing that. They technically probably don't even completely understand it. And so it could probably lead to some bad things from what they're doing.
Right.
But, I mean, they're trying to obviously stay in the market, but you can't do what everybody else is doing.
Right. Now, you mentioned the Internet, and I know that – I don't know what your – listings were before, your organic listings, but I know that you've got quite a few number one listings for like Gainesville Daycare, Gainesville Preschool. I think you rank really well for Gainesville Child Care. Is that one of the things that, that West helped with? And if so, are you seeing a, obviously you're seeing a return, but do you know what percentage of leads come from search engines as opposed to like your Yellow Pages ads or other stuff?
Well, yes and no. I do know that, you know, of the leads of the last 3 months that we've gotten, is that probably 40 to 50% came from the internet, and then 40 to 50% came from the telephone. Now, how many of those telephone leads inquired on our website prior to that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My gut, and I couldn't track that specifically, is that most of those phone calls that came in were on our internet, were on our website before. And I would say that for any business that we do going forward, is that the website is the foundation upon which you build the rest of your marketing activity.
Right.
So everything that we did, from signs on property to what do you call it, big banners, like those big vinyl banners, we had some
right.
of those up.
Right.
We did business networking. We did some offline business, partnerships, where
mm-hmm.
we were paying them referral fees for referrals. And all of that funneled into, in one way or another, the website, because we had landing pages for each specific initiative. Sometimes we had trackable websites with trackable phone numbers. But all of it funneled into that foundation.
Right. And I think that's a key takeaway, too, because I talk with a lot of real estate agents, and the ones that get it, they understand that the internet, just like you said, drives all other aspects of the business, whereas there's still a portion of business owners, especially with plumbers, they really don't get the internet at all, but they think the internet's kind of like a hobby, and you can't treat it's a business. It's a key part of your business. It's a key part of your marketing, and to get people to grasp that concept is still, it's been a challenge for, I know, Wes and me sometimes, because some people, they don't understand that people are going online to search as opposed to reaching in the drawer, pulling out the Yellow Pages. And you've got to have something in place to where they land on your website that you can capture a lead somehow. And I know that that's one of the things that you guys did that's really helped fuel your business, as you offer the free report on how to select a preschool, and that gets people into the process, and then you funnel them along into taking a tour and all of that. And it's basic stuff, but it's still effective stuff. And I think that's where people get lost, is they see all of this fancy internet stuff and they think they've got to do 85 million things. And really you don't, you just have to look at it from a perspective of, okay, what's my customer doing? What's my prospect doing? How can I engage them? How can I make them become a lead? And how can I get them into the facility? You guys have done a really good job for that.
Well, yeah, and then we also had to overcome that obstacle with Barbara, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, as much as I knew about internet marketing, I still had to pitch her and sell her on this concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to her, a website was there to be real pretty and to tell people about her business. That's what she thought the website was there for. And she figured if people stumbled upon it and she did a good job of talking about her business, that she'd get business out of it. Whereas I was coming from the position of the website is there to engage your user or your prospect and for you to have an exchange of information, for you to give them value and for them to give you contact information, in which you put them into a marketing funnel, and then hopefully at the end, you know, they either buy or they die. And I don't literally mean die. It's just I kept pounding that term with her, is either they're going to buy or they're going to, you know, opt out or get out of your marketing funnel.
Right. And that's what you should do. I mean, you don't want to continue to – it's kind of like when somebody runs one of those ads where the guy's screaming at you to buy something. Well, how many people flip the channel when the obnoxious guy comes on? You want people to take action, and that's the tough part that – a lot of old school, I guess you could say, business owners and marketers, because I know my dad, this is totally foreign to him, and there's a lot of business owners that are that are like my dad, that they think the internet is just like you said, it's a brochure. It's kind of a, yeah, you put it out there, but it's really not going to drive business. The new model is you get out there, you capture leads, you follow up with them on a semi-consistent basis, and you market to them until they say, hey, don't market to me anymore. And it's a different concept, and it's very effective when you implement it. And I know that you guys have mapped out a system along with Wes, and that's kind of where we're aiming in this direction, is to help other daycares and preschool owners develop a similar system to where they get out of that old school marketing and advertising mentality, to where everything is, you know, print, magazines, yellow pages, things like that, and start doing stuff that helps your prospects tell you, hey, this is how I want to be marketed to, or hey, this is interesting to me, or no, go away. They can opt out, or they can say, hey, you know, I've had enough, or they can come in and say, yeah, I want to do business with you. So it's a much better model, I would say. Okay, so talk to me.
And that's the other thing that she was confused about is, why would we keep sending them marketing stuff? To her, marketing was kind of salesy and constantly asking for business, whereas the approach we took was we constantly added value. So we were giving them information that could help them in their process of the decision of how to choose a daycare. And that all of our marketing principles had that. Now, there may be a PS at the end of the letter that reminded them to book a tour or to take some call to action, but the majority of what we were calling marketing was really just saying, we want to help you make a decision.
And that's excellent, because I've downloaded a lot of the I've downloaded the reports, and I'm going through the sequence myself to see what you guys did, and that's exactly like you say. It's helping people. Like, you tell people how to select a daycare, what's important in a preschool, and things from that perspective, that if I didn't, let's say I just had a child and I didn't know anything about it, that would be very helpful to me, to whereas the average person that doesn't have a kid of preschool age, it's not going to be interesting to them. So it's very relevant. It's somewhat personalized, because when you capture somebody at that particular time, they're very interested in, okay, I want to make the best decision to put my child into a situation to advance, grow, learn what they need to learn, so that way they're ready for regular school. And that's the way to go about it, and that's what we're going to help people do. Talk to me about how your life has changed since you ramped up your marketing efforts to include offering the free report and implementing a repeatable system for follow-up.
Well, I've since retired. I wish. No, it's become a 180. I mean, I can't say that we were struggling.
Right.
You know, even Barbara's been doing this for 30 years, so she's bought and sold probably 8 different daycares / preschools. She calls them preschools, but. Even from our online marketing, we realized that half of the searches were for daycare and half of them were for preschool, because people didn't know what to call it.
Right.
Anyway, I digress. But, you know, she went through a divorce in 2002, and compared to the activity and involvement she had prior to that, I would say she checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, she's still involved on certain aspects, but certainly wasn't in there every day, and certainly wasn't helping drive it. Now, up till that point, for the 25 years prior to that, she had always had waiting lists and full schools. So, you know, from her, everything came from an operation standpoint. If you run a good preschool, it stays full. Well, the landscape in the town that we're in changed since she quote-unquote checked out, and we've had a major competitor come in that's opened up, I believe, 8 different locations, and then we've had multiple new preschools pop up, and whenever it's new, that's an easy attraction, because they've got the neatest-looking building, it's very clean-looking. But at the same time, they don't have what we offer, which is we have the best education.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard. Is you know, over these years, the new flashy, fun Disney type looking places were eating away at our market share, and we were probably 40% under capacity compared
oh, wow.
to always being full where she was at before.
Mm-hmm.
And so though we weren't struggling from a financial standpoint, we knew that we needed to do something to curb the tide. And the first 3 months of when we were digging into everything, I just wanted to know, you know, have we changed what we were good at that's caused this, or was it we just didn't let anybody know about how good we are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it ended up being that we just hadn't shouted from the mountaintop very well, if at all.
Right. And that's one of the things that, I don't know if you're familiar with Jay Abraham, but he's kind of one of the big
guys. Oh, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, and that's one of the things he says is remind people of how good you are, how much you care, and just keep reminding them that you exist. Because a lot of times people, they either forget, or just because they visit your website, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to return unless you give them a reason to return. And that's one area I'm positive, whether the number's short or not, that offering this report to people gives them a reason to come back to achildsacademy.com and see what's going on there, and also to book the tour. If you didn't have something like that in place, this is just me spitballing here, I would guess the average person would just come to your website and then go to the competitor's website and then to the next competitor and just keep on going down the line until they found something like this that says, hey, yeah, this person's looking out for my well-being. This person's good. I want to learn more about them. So I think that is the one major thing that you guys have done that I hope that the people listening in get the big takeaway from. Let me ask, I think I know the answer to this question, but are you getting everything out of your business now that you had dreamed of? Might be a little bit of a strong word, but let's go with that. Are you getting what you envisioned for your out of your business?
Well, excuse me, I'm choking here. I definitely think the results are greater than what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's leading us towards an overall vision of what we had for the family business. This isn't our only business, but we had some visions of where we want to take the family business.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the results that we've achieved definitely will lead us towards, I guess, the quote-unquote dream that we had. We just didn't know it would be, you know, via this route.
Right. And it's faster than expected, and you actually got more than what you anticipated out of my buddy Wes, which is always good to hear. So that way,
yeah, I mean, realistically, you know, Wes was saying we'd see some increases in 90 days, and I was like, yeah, it'll take about a year to turn this sucker around. So, yeah, I mean, with the speed that we achieved it in, that was a surprise, but realistically, in a normal industry, I think it would have taken probably about 12 months,
mm-hmm.
but that's still fine. I mean, even with 12 months, we still would have had a great return, and we would have been extremely happy.
Right. All right, here's my final question. If you had one piece of advice for fellow preschool and or daycare owners, what would it be?
Fix your follow-up.
Okay. Excellent.
And then the second one I do is ask for the business.
Yeah, Wes had mentioned that. Talk about that a little bit. He said that was one of the things that, I don't know if this is a preschool thing in general, but he said it was kind of an uncomfortable thing to where people didn't feel comfortable asking for the order or asking for the enrollment. Talk about that a little bit, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we did a great job of increasing leads, I would say we probably doubled the amount of leads we get. And most business owners go, I need more leads, I need more leads, I need more leads. You know, we kept looking at the situation, and Wes was smart enough to keep hammering me on saying, you need to do more with the leads you got.
Yeah.
Because I kept saying, hey, we need more leads. What about this? We need more leads. He goes, let's focus for a little bit on doing more with the leads you got. And, you know, I'm sure most business owners, you know, have that same thing. It's always the lead. They need more leads. The leads
mm-hmm.
aren't good enough. Well, we ended up testing some sales-specific activities and fixed our phone script from selling people on the fact that
they should enroll at our school to realizing the only job or sale that we're trying to achieve on the phone is for them to come in and tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we were overselling on the phone, which was yielding negative results. So we changed the script and worked on what we were doing on the phone to encourage more people to come. And this was all, obviously, you can't just change the script. It's not, there's not a single thing that led to any of these results. It's accumulation of all of the changes. So
right.
When I say we changed the script, you know, at the same time, we're changing the marketing aspect of how we get to come in with a whole goodie bag. And I mean, there's a lot of things that went into figuring all of this out.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, without changing the script, we wouldn't have yielded the results we had, but just changing the script wouldn't have given us the results. That's what I'm trying to get at, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyways, what we ended up doing is changing. There's two things I track as far as sales numbers for preschool, and it's our lead to tour conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, how many leads we've got and how many of those turn into tours of our property. And then there's a tour to enrollment rate, which is really what you got to keep an eye on, which is how many of those people that tour enroll and attend your school. And both of them are very telling as far as how you're doing as a school.
Mm-hmm.
And on both of those, we literally changed our conversion rate from about 5% and 8%. It's 5% on lead to tour, which means out of every 20 leads, we would get a tour. And then 8% on every tour to enrollment, which, you know, basically is one out of every 10 that toured would enroll. And once we did all the changes and scripting and worked on a few things and got our people comfortable, because in the preschool industry, you have to understand these people are caring teachers. And
right.
If you talk to a teacher about a salesperson, they immediately think of like the, you know, used car salesman. They think sales is bad and they don't ever want to do that. Well, we worked on saying, look, yes, what we're doing is a sales technique, but what you're actually doing is hurting this family by not asking for it in this way, because you could let them walk down to our competitor down the road, and you and I both know that that family's going to be worse off if they attend that school instead of here. And we're using this tool to help them stay in a good place and get a good education. Once they overcame that, you know, our tour to enrollment conversion went from 8 to, I think, 35%.
Wow.
So it sounds kind of like, oh, what's 8 to 32? It doesn't really matter. But it, once you back into the numbers, it used to take us 142 leads to get an enrollment, and now it takes 12.
Wow. Wow. That's significant.
So, yeah, we could have kept increasing leads, but it would have shown a minimal effect because of how many leads it took to get an enrollment. And so
yep.
We went from a negative trend line from decreasing our enrollment and having less and less kids by doing more with our enrollments. Now, all of a sudden, we're back to full and, you know, working on a waiting list. We haven't exactly moved to the waiting list because we've opened up extra classrooms. But that's, I mean, we've gone above and beyond where we thought we'd be at.
Excellent. Well, Kevin, I want to thank you for your time today. This has been very eye-opening for me, and I think it paints the complete picture from what Wes and I had talked about before, about a week ago, to now. People can hear it straight from, I'm not calling you a horse, but they can hear it straight from the horse's mouth to know that, you know, Wes wasn't hyping this stuff up. These are the same numbers that Wes shared when I talked to him last week, and I want people to understand that what you just said there at the end, focusing on your leads to tours, tours to enrollment, the difference there, and also it's not just one change that made the difference, but it's the culmination and the combination of all the changes that you did. And that's what we're going to share with people as we open up the floodgate, so to speak, to My Preschool Profits. And again, I want to thank you for your time. And anything else you want to say to the people before we wrap it up?
No, just the one thing I used to always ask people in other businesses is, what's the one way you get leads or whatever? And one guy I remember told me, he goes, I don't know one way to get 100 leads, but I know 100 ways to get one lead.
There you go. And that's yeah. something that Wes and I always talk to business owners too, is you don't care how you get the lead as long as you get the lead. If you're not doing
right.
anything to get the lead, then your business isn't going to grow. So I think this is something that people definitely want to pay attention to, and they've heard a lot of good information today. And again, I want to thank you, and this is Roger Bauer signing off, and we will talk to everybody again soon. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Sure.